Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Venezuelan-born, Nashville-based jazz bassist and composer Chris Mondak. We caught up with him about his new 2022 CD, Glass Spheres, COVID Life, and his journey in music. And that it has been. He was born in Venezuela, raised in Illinois, trained in Boston, and today he calls Nashville home, and he has a vast amount of music experience. Enjoy his story.
I appreciate you taking a minute out.
Yeah, sure.
So, you know, I guess first and foremost, what I want to do is kind of talk to you a little bit about, you know, we're in the middle of this pandemic. We've been going through it for, you know, 2 years now. Lots of things have been changed or rearranged, no live music. But you have a new album coming out, Glass Spheres. And I want to know, what does it feel like? What does it mean to you to have this album come out now with the chance to hopefully play and promote more?
I mean, I think it feels great to have the opportunity to try to get my music out there and play in front of a live crowd and just have new listeners. I think it's awesome.
Over this time that, you know, we've been in quarantine and lockdown, what did you learn about yourself that maybe you didn't realize before that's going to make you stronger as you promote this album and get out and play live more?
I realized that I actually need to post more on social media and, like, just get my social media game, like, up and going. Other than that, though, I would say that's the biggest thing.
With this brand new album, talk to me a little bit about what your voice is, what you really wanted to get across with this album.
So this album, I was trying to just kind of show how I write and compose some songs, because it's just all originals of mine, and I think I got a wide variety of stuff. Just trying to get better, and, like, hopefully the next album will be even better.
So what are you hoping the listener gets from this album?
Well, what I'm hoping for, they find a song out of the 7 songs, and maybe one like, speaks to them a little more. Yeah, I'm just curious to know, like, which song would the listeners enjoy more and which ones would they wouldn't so much, or if they do enjoy, because I have, like, an avant-garde one in there, so I'm kind of curious to know if people are going to like that one. But we'll see what happens, you know?
So you've had quite an interesting path. Born in Venezuela, raised in Illinois, trained in Boston, now you're in Nashville. That's quite a zigzag. How did all of this happen?
Oh, yeah, well, so I was born in Venezuela. My mom, she's Venezuelan. That was that. I was only there for, like, 2 months when I was a baby and then moved to the United States. And then my parents are professors at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana. And so we moved over there, I think, when I was 10, and I started picking up the bass there, and then eventually I just kept going with it, and then college came around, and then I applied to some schools, and then New England Conservatory, they wrote back, and school in Boston, and so I got to study up there for 4 years, and that was great. And then Nashville, I think, is just, it kind of is like the Midwest vibe, the same as, like, Champaign. But it's also in a city, and there's a lot of music happening. So I think it was just a good move to Nashville compared to, like, New York and just the East Coast or, like, California. I think it would have been too expensive and, like, really hard to try to, like, live up there.
So what about influences? Who have been some early jazz influences that have swayed the way that you approach the craft?
Yeah, I mean, I would say my biggest, like, bass influences are Ray Brown and then Charles Mingus. Those two are definitely my two guys. I say my sound when I play the bass resembles them the most. But I also like Jaco Pastorius on the electric bass. It's great.
What was the first live jazz show that you saw that really blew you away?
I would say Doc Severston. He had a crazy show that he was headlining, and then he had his, like, pink suit on, and he was just coming, like, full blazing on the trumpet. It was ridiculous.
Talk to me a little bit about life in Nashville, gigs, things that are going on with the jazz scene and the promotion of this album.
So I gig about 2 to 3 times a week, because I have a gig that's, like, every other week. But I'm trying to stay busy, and then I think the jazz scene here in Nashville is actually growing. I do think that you got like, Joel Fromm, some heavy people that are moving out from New York coming down to Nashville. There's a lot of, like, students that graduated recently that are also moving down to Nashville, and it's just growing. We're playing at Rudy's, like, the number one spot here in Nashville for jazz, and it's going to be a good show playing the album live on Thursday.
tell me, you know, every day you get to wake up, you get to be a professional musician. This is your life. What do you like the best about being a professional musician?
You got to admit, it's definitely a struggle for some. It's hard to be a musician. It definitely is. But then I would say, again, at the same time, I really don't even consider it being work. When I'm playing on stage, it's just fun for me, and I don't even think of it as like a job at that point. It's just fun to play.
So why do you love jazz?
I would say I love jazz in particular just because it's 100% like fully improv music. So like and being as a bass player, when we're like walking bass lines and making up our own lines, we're technically soloing soloing the whole time as the song is going. And it's just cool. I think jazz, you have to really listen to the band. Like that's like the history of the music. Everybody was listening a lot, just evolving that way and growing as a band. And I just think like theory wise, probably musicality, it's probably the more advanced stuff. And so I think if you're trying to learn like really quick, I think jazz is the best way, in my opinion, to like learn music theory and just how to get like good at a instrument fast.
So as the world wakes up and we return more and more to live music, I'm curious, you know, what do you hope we all realize, both musician and audience, about the power of live music as we get back to it?
I think people are going to realize that they missed it and that we kind of need live music. You know, it's something that just needs to stay around. And like if you just go out one night to a bar or something, it's nice to just see somebody like singing some songs, or if there's a band, you know, you can dance. I think it's a great thing to have live music, and I prefer it personally when I go to places to see a live band over just like the radio.
So everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life, you have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
I think I'm a young bass player just trying to make some music, you know, just trying to get out there and see what happens. Nothing crazy right now, you know, but we're going to see what happens.
I dig it. Christopher, hey, thanks for taking a minute out for the show today. I appreciate it. Good luck with the album and the return to the live stage.
All right, yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and minds in Illinois, Venezuela, Nashville, Kansas City, and spots all over the globe, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Chris for his time, energy, and cool. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.